The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is it required to believe in the deity of Christ to receive eternal salvation? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. Do you have some questions that you have wanted to get answered and can't find answers to? Well, maybe Dr. Bob and Sean have an answer to your questions. You can reach them through email, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, on today's episode, as we get into the discussion, you're going to probably want more. Our shows are short, and we can't possibly cover everything there is to cover within our 15-minute time limit. So, I've got a solution for you that I think is great. You should consider attending our National Bible Conference. Take a deep dive into God's Word, fellowship with other like-minded believers who love Scripture just like you do. You can find out more about our National Bible Conference by going to faithalone.org and clicking on Events. We hope to see you there. Let's go right to today's interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. I hope you're following our website, faithalone.org. I'm really excited about the things that are happening. We're going to be redesigning the website soon. We're working on the behind-the-scenes aspects of the website right now, and we're going to come up with a new way of presenting all of the foreign language blogs that we now have. We currently have Spanish, Portuguese, Russian, Filipino. We are adding Italian, German, and Polish.
Right.
And it looks like it's only going to grow from there. And so we're trying to think of creative ways of presenting those things, kind of having their own kind of presence so that it's not buried in an English website. And that's thanks. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for supporting us. When we have funds like that, we can pay for translators and things. Thank you for sharing our articles and our blogs with people. That helps get the word out. That increases traffic. That helps us in all kinds of different ways. So we do appreciate you guys sharing our materials and telling other people about it. Well, we're going to answer some questions here. Here is one from Kenneth. And he says, some people say that believing that Jesus is God is a requirement to have everlasting life. Some take it from John 8:24. Where Jesus says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins, or other verses. I wanted to know, what is your take on that verse?
Okay, well, let's discuss the bigger issue first, and then John 8:24 second.
All right.
So the bigger issue is, does the Bible teach we must believe, how did he put it, that Jesus is God?
Yeah. Must you believe that Jesus is God to have everlasting life?
Well, and secondly, Kenneth, what must you believe about the saying Jesus is God?
See, I like that question.
Because most people, all they want someone to do is to affirm, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And they don't even ask them, now, what do you mean by that?
What do you mean by that? In other words, when they're doing evangelism, they just want you to parrot the words, do you believe Jesus is God? Yeah.
And sure. Then that's okay.
So, long as you've said the special words, and no one ever asks, okay, well, what does that mean to you?
Right. If you ask a Mormon, do you believe Jesus is God?
They're
what would their answer be?
They're going to say yes.
Sure. If you ask a Catholic, is Jesus God or the Son of God? Of course.
Sure.
And of course, Catholics do have a high view, unlike Mormons or unlike Jehovah's Witnesses, of the deity of Christ.
Well, I mean, they're Trinitarian like we are.
Right. So. That doesn't mean they're born again.
No.
It just means they believe in the deity of Christ.
Right.
But there are so many aspects of the deity of Christ. I took a course at Dallas Seminary on Christology, which is about the person and work of Christ. And then I took a doctoral course from Dr. Walvoord on advanced Christology.
Yeah.
We went through all kinds of advanced details. I can tell you that before I took each of those courses, there were huge amounts of information about the deity of Christ that I did not understand and did not believe and would have failed an exam. So let's ask a second question. Before we get to John 8:24, why is it that so many people insist you must believe in the deity of Christ?
I have a theory about that.
All right, tell me what it is.
I don't know. I don't know the real answer, but I have a theory.
Okay. I have a theory too.
Oh, you do? Okay. Here's my theory: is when the Roman Empire, this was such a big issue in the Roman Empire. They were being divided. The Roman Empire was being divided. It became a political issue. These things on the Trinity, and so affirming the Trinity became a condition of being a citizen in the empire. If you didn't affirm the Trinity, you were outside. That was illegal. It was literally illegal not to be Trinitarian. And so when the Reformation happens, all these Reformation churches, which all happen at the level of the state, the Lutherans and the Anglicans and the Presbyterians, they're switching from the Holy Roman Empire to these more modern kind of European states. They inherited this tradition that you needed to affirm the Trinity in order to be a citizen. If you didn't, you're burned at the stake, or you were drowned, or you're exiled. And then evangelical churches just kind of grew out of those things. And so I think people just kind of just soaked up the tradition that somehow if you're not affirming this, then somehow you're out of bounds.
I think there's that. I have three things that are related to that. Number one, it seems to me that a lot of people want to distinguish our position from the cults.
One way
to do that is to say we have a full-orbed belief in the deity of Christ.
Right.
That is, we don't teach that somehow the Father had relations with Eve and then that became Jesus, which I believe is the teaching of the Latter-day Saints. Is that right, John? You're looking at
I mean, there's all kinds of weird stuff like that happening.
But in any regard, we want to separate from the cults, and I get that. But secondly, I think another reason is because only God can give the free gift of everlasting life. So people say, well, you need to understand he's God in order to believe that he's giving you the free gift.
Yeah.
And the third thing is, I think they want people to get started in the Christian life on the right foot.
Well, okay, those are good reasons.
They want them to start out. But what I would say is,
You should believe that Jesus is God. Let's say someone does
believe that this person named Jesus, who is the Messiah, who is the King of Israel,
Jesus of Nazareth, you know?
He's telling the truth when he says, he who believes in me has everlasting life, and you believe that's true.
Yeah.
Well, then, is it necessary that you have a Trinitarian understanding in order to be born again? I would say no. But I don't know anybody that's been born again that didn't believe that Jesus was God in the Trinity. Now,
I'd say 100% of people were born again without believing the Trinity, because I honestly don't think most people believe the Trinity.
Okay, I see what you're
saying. I think they say the words Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they're like, somehow it's one. But they don't really understand it. And if you ask them questions about it, you kind of shows that they're modalists or other weird stuff. You know, weren't you talking about one guy who thought Jesus was literally the Father's Son?
I remember I met some guy at a Free Grace church, and the guy told the pastor that he had come to faith, and when he was convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, and by faith in him, he was saved forever. But he said it wasn't until I'd been in the church for about 6 months that I realized what Son of God meant.
Yeah.
He said, I thought he was literally God's son.
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Like I'm my father's son.
I can think of maybe three or four Baptist. I remember them being Baptist pastors reaching out to me and saying, you know, you need to believe that Jesus is God to be saved. And I was like, well, what does that mean to you? And to a man, those three guys, I remember they were all modalists. They thought the Father becomes the Son, becomes the Spirit, becomes.
These were Baptist pastors.
These were Baptist pastors. They were not Trinitarian. They would have said, yeah, I believe the Trinity. The Trinity is this: the Father becomes the Son. And I was like, no, that's modalism. That's a heresy. But they didn't get it. Honestly, I think a lot of people don't get it. I don't even know. Does Kenneth here, what does he believe about Jesus being God? I don't know.
Well, let's look at John 8:24, and we may need to finish this in the next one. But I think John 8:24 is a little confusing for people. Could you read that one, Sean?
Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.
John 8:24 precedes John 8:30-32. which precedes John 8:33 to the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
Well, John 8:30-32 is about being set free from sin's bondage.
Okay.
And it's saying that if you're a believer in Christ, you now have the potential to be set free from sin's bondage in your experience. If you abide in Christ's words, then the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
So the point of John 8:30-32 is when you believe, you're set free from sin's bondage in your position. And when you abide, you're set free from its bondage in your experience. And then the Jews go on and complain, we've never been slaves to anyone. And Jesus tells them they're slaves of sin.
Right.
Well, John 8:24 is saying the same thing. If you do not believe that I am he, that is Messiah, not God.
Yeah.
But now, of course, some people say, see, ego eimi, I am, and say that must be the same as Exodus with the burning bush.
Yeah, I think that's a common view, and I agree. I think that's a mistake.
I think it is here, because here he's promising that he's Messiah. But notice, you will die in your sins. To die in your sins doesn't mean you die because of your sins. We all die because we're sinners. To die in your sins means you die as a slave of sin.
Okay.
That's what 8:30-32 and 8:33 and following talks about.
Yeah.
So the point is, when you believe that Jesus is Messiah, the Christ,
yeah,
then, and that's John 20:31, by the way, he's the Christ, the Son of God.
Yeah.
Then at that point, you're born again. And by the way, the Christ, the Son of God in John's gospel is not about the deity of Christ.
Right.
It's about the fact that he is the Messiah who guarantees everlasting life to the believer.
There's, I think about John 4, the woman at the well says, I know that Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he.
He says, I who speak to you am.
Yeah.
Again, the he we supply.
I'm the Messiah.
I'm the Messiah is
you
what
know,
he's saying.
And I agree. I think that's what he's saying in John 8 as well.
I think
I'm
he
the Messiah.
Is. And the point here in John 8:24 is about being set free. The unbeliever goes to his grave a slave of sin. The believer does not.
Kenneth, thanks for your question. And if you have follow-ups, radio@faithalone.org is where you can reach us. That's radio@faithalone.org. And be sure to look up verses like John 8:24 at our website, faithalone.org, where we have articles on that and many, many other topics and questions.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On the Friday edition of Grace and Focus, we're going to talk about what it means to crucify the flesh, as Paul put it. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.